The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you. Hello, and up goes the curtain on another edition of My Music. Exercise in musical knowledge, really, between Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden, on the one hand, and John Amis and Frank Muir, on the other. And we begin with some musical identification. Ian, whenever I go to see a classical ballet, I always see the moment, enjoy the moment, when the main male ballet dancer stalks around the stage with his arm up, and draped over his hand is the leading female ballet dancer, as if she'd just done her back in. You know that moment. She walks around rather proudly. And this is the music you always seem to hear at that moment. Lovely music. Ian, which ballet is it from and who composed it?
Well, before making a stab at that, I would say that the chances are that more male ballet dancers have done their back in carrying that girl around than in any other way. Tchaikovsky.
Yes.
This is from the Nutcracker, is it not?
Yes, it is. It's the pas de deux from the Nutcracker suite. Yes, 2 marks to you. Dennis, for you, not ballet, but film. Question, which film?
I couldn't aspire to anything higher than to feel the desire to make you my own.
I like that.
Well. Was it Nielsen said that As Time Goes By it was the greatest popular song ever composed? I think that was the best comedy film ever made.
You really?
Some Like It Hot. Yes.
Yes.
I do. Yeah.
And the singer was
Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe, 2 marks to you. Yes. John Amis, for you, neither ballet nor film, but opera. What ends like this? Certainly the end, isn't it? The end of what?
I think it's the end of a duet from the Pearl Fishers.
Yes.
Bizet.
Which duet? Bizet, yes. Georgie Bizet, yes. Or Bizet, as we say. And which song?
Which what?
Song.
Aria. Which song?
The last one.
Can't deny that.
It's,
do you know?
Au fond... Nazir and Thingway Bob.
Au fond du temple.
Oh, probably, yes.
Well, never mind. Never mind, eh? You've got the 2 marks, Pearl Fishers and the composer Bizet. Frank, a film, one made some distance away from here, judging by the sound quality. Whose voice do we hear?
It's like one of those Greek restaurants where the waitress sings, isn't it? It's Never on a Sunday.
Yes, and the singer?
Presumably the mercurial lady who sang it in the film.
Yes, her full name being?
Mercury.
Yes, Melina Mercury, for 2 marks.
What?
I remember, I'm very fond of Greek popular music, and I remember once finding a bar in Corfu where there was some lovely Greek music being played on the jukebox in there. And I went in there looking obviously very English and ordered a glass of Retsina. And the manager came up and said, "Are you English?" And I said, "Yes." Whereupon he switched off the jukebox, got out his guitar and sang, "Roll out the barrel, we got the barrel of fun." Which was not really what I wanted to hear. Over now to the piano and my two medleys, one for each team. Ian and Dennis, pens and paper ready. See if you can write down the titles of these six quick-fire tunes. We get on.
We didn't get on very well.
Dennis, you may have got the first one, I think.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Yes.
Oh, Rumpelstiltskin.
Ian, say it louder,
that's right.
Please. Rumpelstiltskin, yes. That's fine. That's fine. And then?
Walk in the Black Forest.
Yes.
I got Walk in BF. Right, as far.
I was a little surprised to see Dennis's pen moving for the next one.
Was there something, my lovely white dove?
The white dove, yeah. Yes. Yes, that's three out of three so far.
You see, my pen making the question mark for the next one.
Yes, it hovered over the paper, didn't it? Didn't know. Did you get the next one, Ian?
Blue Danube came in.
No, before then came the waltz from Eugene Onegin, or Eugen Onegin, or however they like to pronounce it these days.
No.
Then you mentioned the Blue Danube.
Yeah.
And the final one?
It was another waltz.
Yeah, it was indeed, yes. Don't know which one.
No.
It was part of the part of the Skater's Waltz. So you've got four out of six. That's two marks out of three. And over to the other side, a medley for John and Frank. Now, the first one, John.
We've done three.
John.
Tchaikovsky again.
Yes.
Symphony number 6, last movement.
Oh, yes, thank you. Right. Then?
Over the Seas to Sky.
No, there was another one before then.
May have been to you before I said it.
John, you must have got it.
I knew the tune. Can you just remind me of the tune?
Well, yeah, I can just remind you of the title. It was the Pilgrim's Chorus from Tannhäuser, or from the Overture, if you prefer. So you that. Then your Skyboat song.
Skyboat song.
Frank, that's yes. Right. And then came...
Oklahoma.
Well, yes, that's the
show. Oh, What a Beautiful Morning.
Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, yes. And then two more. Did you get them?
Not personally, but... corporately, possibly.
It was a Strauss waltz.
Yes.
Didn't get that. You didn't get that or the last one, did you?
The Skater's Waltz, the last one.
Yes. They were, in fact, exactly the same two, played in exactly the same way I played for the Ian and Dennis's medley. So 3 minutes ago, you were sitting listening to them being identified. But,
the object of this programme isn't to show off your versatility.
but it is.
To let us dazzle.
You've got two marks out of three, so...
Are we?
At the halfway mark, or thereabouts in the show, have a look at the score, a draw. Time to hear some really good singing, in this case from Vittoria de los Angeles, as they call her in L.A. Ian, she's singing here in Carmen. What, in effect, is she singing about?
C'est l'autre que je préfère, il n'a rien.
Ian.
She is informing a wretched member of the town guard of Seville that love is like a rebel bird, a oiseau rebelle, or a gypsy child. And she's saying, it's no good you loving me if I don't love you, but by God, if I love you, look out.
A very fair summary, I think.
It's a very free translation.
Yeah, very free indeed, yes. But it's a very free situation, too, isn't it? 2 marks. Dennis, that was, in fact, the habanera from Carmen. What's the origin of the word habanera?
The origin is Spanish.
Ah, yes, the old mind's racing, yes.
Because the Spanish, for the Havana in Spanish is Habana. Like cabana translates as cabana in English. So habanero is a citizen or thing appertaining to Havana. As you can't say a Havanian.
No.
Well, you can say it, but it holds up the conversation.
Yes.
So a habanera is a female thing or citizen from Havana.
Oh, I think that's very good, actually. For once in my life, I can go one better. Because I looked up a Spanish dictionary, and I found that haba means a broad bean, and era means a vegetable patch. So habanera is a broad bean and a vegetable patch. But I did prefer your answer on the whole. It's Cuban, actually, in origin, and you've got 2 marks. John, back to our singer. Why should this music make me think of Coppelia and Petrushka? Dolls, yes. Dolls doing what?
What, the Coppelia one? The
specifically
one, or
dolls.
This particular one?
Well, dolls doing what? I mean, dolls being doll-like or inert or what?
Dolls attaining to human form.
Ah, yes. Dolls coming to life. Yes.
That was to Los Angeles again, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes.
May I tell you a rather sweet story?
Do.
A man I know in the BBC had to finalise some programme detail with to Los Angeles a little time ago when she was in London. And her husband picked up the phone. He was a rather playful man. So my friend said, oh, could I have Madame de Los Angeles? And he said, no, no, she is mine, mine, all mine.
That's what you get if you tangle with Latins, isn't it? Frank, it's your turn. Here's a dramatic moment. Same lady singer. Aha, she says in effect, or in her own language, a box and the key to it to boot. It won't do any harm to open it. So listen, please, Frank, and then tell me, what does she find inside? If I had gone any further, it would have given the game away.
You'd have found a mousetrap.
What are you doing?
Any clue lit?
Well, Ian is helping.
Ah, it's Jewels. It's yes. Would she be Marguerite?
I should think very likely.
Because it's she'd be Marguerite, who was tempted by Faust.
That's right. She's found jewels of enormous value inside the box. Or
well, she's been given them, hasn't she?
Yes, but I mean, when she opened the lid, that's what she found inside. Yes, I don't mean she's found them in the street.
The subtitle that is Getting Goethe's Garter.
Now the the next round and a sound that will grab a lot of listeners by the throat. Ian, are you ripe for a little nostalgia?
Ready?
Yes. Right, here we go. Ian busy miming the rise out of the theatre pit. Yeah. Who was that, Ian?
Oh, well, it could have been one of several people. Oh, no, it couldn't, because of the signature tune.
Yes.
And there's a message coming in here from...
it's from...
Reginald Foote.
Reginald Foote.
I knew
yes.
it was the whole time.
Whom I recall at the organ of the Empress Blackpool, which is now, by the way, preserved by the BBC at Manchester, which is a nice thought. But Reginald Foote it was, playing his signature tune, Keep Smiling, and that gets Ian a mark. Dennis, when I was a student, I used to go to a cinema in London where the organist not only came up through a hole in the ground, he turned a spiral of 180 degrees as well. Beside him in the pit was Van Damme's orchestra. Where was that?
Well, it actually could have been one of two places. Could have been the Trocadero Elephant and Castle, where Van Damme and his orchestra played, but where Quentin McLean was the organist. Or it could have been the Gaumont State Kilburn, where Sidney Torch was the organist, and his signature tune would have been, I want to sing a Torch song with what do you call it when you do that?
Glissando. Right, yes.
Glissando, with a tremendous glissando.
Yes, I've got to sing a Torch song was the full title of the thing, and it was indeed Sidney Torch at the organ. You mentioned the cinema, the Gaumont State Kilburn.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Where, as a student, I used to see two first-release feature films, an entire opera with Tauber and Pagliacci on one occasion.
Cavalleria Rusticana.
Yes, that's right. Paul Robeson on the stage, Van Damme and his orchestra, and Sidney Torch at the organ.
That's right. There was once a circus, actually, because I used to work there as a stagehand, and we once had a circus there, and one of the nicest things I ever saw was that the circus, we packed backstage, as it were, while the films were on, and it had a lion in it, and we had an MGM film. And when the MGM lion roared, the lion backstage answered.
Oh, how nice, yes. I bet they were both called Leo, too, weren't they?
The MGM lion was called Jimmy Two, actually.
Jimmy Two.
He actually appeared in two films, which I forget now, yeah.
terrible results can happen when... cinema organs are used for a purpose for which they were not designed. There was a famous performance of The Messiah years ago in Birmingham in a cinema when it wasn't being used as a cinema, and it was just the organ was accompanying it, and everything went very well until in one of the quieter arias from Messiah, the organist, who was a rather elderly gentleman, I believe, pressed the wrong button and started the thing that goes and was then in a most frightful panic to try and stop it, because he wasn't sure quite what he had pressed to make that happen, and of course started pressing all sorts of buttons which made the lights all flash, and eventually pressed the button that sent him down into the bowels of the earth.
If we're going to
strange
up,
and rather horrible way to go.
We're going to hold up the stories the show with organ mishap. I used to tour around as sort of on the cinema circuit, and the Regal Edmonton, the organist there, you know, the organist used to sit on a bench, a very highly polished bench, which they used to have to be able to slide along like at speed, yes, so that their foot could reach out to that foot pedal. And the organist there had an idea, and he installed a different kind of seat, which worked, you know, like on a rowing boat, the seat slides forward. Well, he installed a seat in which each of the cheeks of his bottom fitted, and it had a spring in between, so that when he stretched his left leg, and he did this, and unfortunately it snapped back rather too quickly, and he also finished organ solo, and I think the prior was a man called Phil Park, who Steve probably remembers, who was also, you know, Phil,
yes,
who's a composer as well, and he christened it the Nutcracker Suite.
Right. John Amos, for you, another organist signature tune type music. John, who was that?
I haven't really any idea, but I'll hazard a guess at a Scotsman called Sandy McPherson.
Well, I wouldn't ask you if it were anybody else, would I? Knowing your great depth of non-knowledge of theatre organs, it was indeed Sandy McPherson, yes, playing his own tune there. You get a mark, Sandy. Bless him. Frank, in those happy days of Quentin MacLean, Sidney Gustard, Reginald Porter Brown, can you recall how Sid Field announced his next selection upon the cinema organ?
Yes, he had a terrific sketch as a cinema organist. Mm. He wore a dinner jacket and boots.
Yes.
And he did that swing round and the casual wave to the audience. And he had a little table of things at the side. There was a dolly and a pink comb and a sort of lemonade glass. And the chap who was barracking from the box...
Jerry Desmond.
What's all that junk there? Junk? Junk? Prizes?
Yes, that's true.
I think he probably changed the introduction every night to what
yes,
he
said. A mark to you, certainly, for that. He minced his way at one point to the right down the front of the stage and said, I have the words here as I recall them, ladies and gentlemen, he said, last night at the Royal Albert Hall, Sir Thomas Beecham and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra played Shostakovich's 17th Symphony in C-sharp minor. Tonight, I shall play Lily of Laguna in C. But a mark to you for the recollection, Frank. This last round, we have a little singing from the teams with questions that are all concerned with places, as it happens, or locations of some sort. Dennis, you first. A reference in song to Asbury Park. Piano lead-in coming up.
Is it Granada I see, or is it Asbury Park? Is this a fancy that I'm thinking of, or is it at long last?
Now, when Tony Bennett sings, he always undoes his tie here. Well, I never understand why singers never buy shirts that fit them. They get to a stage, they sort of gasp for air, don't they?
Yes.
Anyway, then it goes, sing love for me, Ian. Is it at long last? Go up for me. Love. No, I can't get there.
Words were nearly right.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Words were nearly right.
But I can explain the business about singers and shirts. The trouble is that you either look, if you're going to sing and you've got a shirt on, you either look elegant when you're not singing and undo your shirt when you are, or else you wear a shirt that looks like a horse collar and don't undo it.
Yes. Better for the audience to see the Adam's apple going up and down, isn't it, then? Yes. Got two marks, Dennis. John, who lived in Scarlet Town?
You want me to sing it?
Yes, please.
Oh.
Two marks.
In Scarlet Town, where I was bound, there was a fair maid dwelling, whom I had chose for to be my own. Her name was Barbara Allen.
That's right. And that's who it was. The mark gets you, that verse gets you two marks. Frank, the modern airs and Tex Beneke offer the verse. Tex Muir gives us the chorus, unaccompanied. Here we go.
Hi there, Tex, how's your new romance? The one you met at the campus dance.
Wait until you see her, you'll agree. My hometown gal's the only one for me.
K-A-L-A-M-A-Z-O-O, what a girl in Kalamazoo.
Yes, that's right.
I don't want to boast, but I know she's the toast of Kalamazoo. Zoo, 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 zoo.
That's right, yes. But, of course, Kalamazoo is spelt with a Z, not a Z. Two marks. Ian, you'd like to be back with your own people in Scotland, humble, poor, and very plain, though they be.
Charming.
Far frae my hame I wander.
Try the chorus.
So far, I can't remember.
You're both home.
Just a minute.
Do you want to try the chorus?
All right.
But it's all that I'm longing for, my ain folk. though they be but lowly, pure and plain folk. I am far beyond the sea, but my heart will ever be at home in dear old Scotland, with my home folk.
Well, I'm afraid it's time we were getting back too. Not a victory, but a draw.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan.
You've been listening to My Music from the BBC, heard each week at this time. This is the WFMT Fine Arts Network.